As we were at worship team practice this week, we always start with witty banter. Those of you that are in the band know it's usually just complete nonsensical ravings of lunatics that are musicians. And then we move into a serious time. We start, before we play any music, with prayer. Does anybody have anything they need prayer for? Caleb will say. What happened after he asked that question this week was just filled with broken people, physically. Ill people, cancer-ridden people, people that need healing physically. And I just marveled at that because it seemed like every single one of us had a story of some major incident that happened throughout this week, or we had just found out. And so every once in a while, God blesses us with themes here. He makes it really known, this is a theme that's going on right now. And so at Whitewater, we've never been above taking an entire service to pray. Uh-oh. Prayer is an amazing time. Or it should be. We see it exhibited by the very person of Jesus, and you're thinking, if Jesus is God, why does he have to pray? He's just talking to himself, right? You see this exhibited in Jesus, and he takes time and he goes and retreats. You see him disappear a lot from crowds. I think Jesus was secretly an introvert. People were burning him out. His own disciples hanging out with all these folks all day long in the heat. You see him retreat and you see him go. In Scripture, not only do we see him go because it's accounted for in Scripture, we see his disciples see that. And his disciples start asking questions as they see him retreat, as they're within earshot. There were times when Jesus would just leave and go and leave them and not invite them in, and there was other times when Jesus would invite them in, like the night before he was taken and crucified. He said, I need you to stand watch. I'm going to go over here and pray. And I need you to stand watch. And they're hearing within earshot, Jesus is pleading to his God. God, I don't want to do this. This task that you've set me to do, this really hard thing that you're asking of me, I don't want to do this. So if there's any other way, make it happen right now. Provide a scapegoat right now. But if not, Father, your will be done. You see this over and over and over again. Well, one of the times that this happened, Jesus' disciples got really curious. Jesus comes back from one of these meetings and they say, Jesus, teach us. Teach us how to pray like that. Give us the words to speak as we see you go off and do this thing. And Jesus says in Luke, it was really funny, I'm not one of those guys that can recall scripture references. Like, oh, well, as it says in Luke chapter 11. I'm not that guy. So this morning, I'm going through my reading that we do with our family for our family devos every day. I'm going through the daily reading, and as I'm doing that, I said, after my readings, I am going to go look up the verse about the Lord's Prayer. Do you know what today's reading was? It was the Lord's Prayer. Had no idea. Had no idea, as I'm reading through Luke, that we were going to hit that today. So yet another confirmation, right? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that God's actually always at work. A buddy of mine, I do good, I speak good. A good friend of mine says this, God's always working upstream. And then it finally makes its way down to us, right? So this verse hits, and these disciples are saying, now, it says this in Luke 11. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. It's putting God in his rightful place. God, you are holy. You are actually above me in your thoughts, in your practices, in the way in which you operate. God, you are there. You're above me. It's putting that order in line, right? Okay? He follows this by your kingdom come. Not the kingdom of Adam. Not the kingdom of you. But God, who, again, is above us, knows more than us, has a way that's perfect, that is not our way, has a way that's to help us and the world around us, that's not our way. Your kingdom come, God. Give us each day our daily bread. God, give us our needs for today. Help us today. That's all we're asking. Goes on, forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And he ends with, and lead us not into temptation. Now what can happen is we can get stuck praying these words. Has anybody ever just used this as like the model prayer and it's been uncomfortable to kind of bust out of this? I had a family that I grew up with, and they had Jesus, which was an interesting thing because it meant they didn't have a church that they went to or they didn't worship anywhere with anyone. And they had Jesus, and they always prayed before mealtimes. And the one meal I joined them for, they said, Adam, would you like to pray tonight? And I said, absolutely. And I prayed much like you would hear at Whitewater. It didn't go anything like this. And they stopped me and they said, no, no, you can't just talk to God. We meant the Lord's Prayer. So then they started praying this, and it was very much, they just turned it on, right? It was out of memorization. It was out of, we just pray this because that's what we do. I don't know as any of them were actually questioning the words they were speaking, what they were actually saying. But this was the model. This is what Jesus had taught his disciples. You want to know how to do this thing? Let's do this thing. And it wasn't an assumption that if you do this thing, it was when you do this thing. When you pray, pray this way. Some of us, the last thing we do is pray. The last thing we do is speak to our Creator. We do it when things are bad. We do it when things are dire. Sometimes we even shout out a praise if we find a $100 bill on the ground, right? Or if things are going well. But this conversation that happens between God and us is a rare thing, and we were actually talking about it with Cindy Schroyer earlier this week, who is leading the prayer ministry here, and she said, there's just not people showing up. And this isn't a guilt trip, okay? There's just not people showing up. And I started recounting the history of these prayer meetings that we've had traditionally here, and it's they start out and then they fizzle. And they become least important things in people's worlds when it should be one of the most top priorities. Talking with God, talking with our Creator. So between that and the worship night, hearing all the prayers that needed to happen for broken people physically, God said there's more prayer that needs to happen today. Sunday. So I ask you, friends, what do you need to be praying about today? You don't have to answer. We've taken time where we've actually asked what your prayer request is and have written it down, and we pray through it one by one. We're not going to do that today because I don't need to be the only one praying in the room. We're going to pray together. But I want you guys to think, what am I needing to speak to you about? What am I going to speak to you about? What are you calling me into to ask of you? God, where am I needing to just sit and rest in the things of you? That's a huge other part of prayer, is just resting in who God is. How God is. My world can get chaotic. Just last night, my wife and I had a good marital discussion. And it started at 10:30 at night, so it was one of those really awesome ones. And you're just like, I just want to go to bed. Now it's 11. Now it's 11:30. My world can get chaotic just like that. Your world can too. So there's moments where we just need to sit and understand that God is actually in control and God is always at his work. And let that wash over us. There's other moments where we need to cry out, God, what's happening in my world? What's happening in my friend's world? During our devotions last night, we prayed and we prayed for our neighborhood. We prayed names of neighbors that we don't believe know Jesus, and that's kind of a hard judgment call, all right? That's a heart call. But God, we want them to know Jesus. We want them to be a part of a faith community, and we weren't praying that it would be here. We know Whitewater is not for everyone. Some of you are thinking, that's right, once this is done, I'm gone. Okay? God, give them a faith community. Give them a faith that's unshakable. And use us to help that. Use us to speak to our neighbors and our neighborhood. Give us inroads in our neighbors, homes. Sometimes those prayers need to happen. Prayers for forgiveness. Prayers for checking ourselves, knowing who God is, understanding who God is, and just sitting in that. Sometimes it's uncomfortable because my way is better than God's way, I tell myself, right? So we're going to spend some time to pray. And I want to encourage you, we're going to dim the lights, and I'm just going to say a few more words as the lights are dimmed, and then we're going to enter in a time of silence. And within that silence, I want you to just think, God, who are you? Where do you want to meet me today? What is pressing on your heart? And if you are so bold and if you are so brave, I would love for you to just pray that out loud. So us, the community, can be in this with you. Some things God will give just to you, and that's okay. You don't need to speak those things out loud. But if there's things that God's pressing on you, God, you need to speak this out. Get the backing of the community. I want you to be faithful to that. And I'm going to be praying that there won't be anything that would stop you from doing such a thing. So let's dim the lights. Let's just give a few moments of silence. Get comfortable in your chair if you need to adjust yourself, because I know you're just sitting on the edge of your seat listening to me right now. Right? Get comfortable. Close your eyes if you need to. Pray with your eyes open. There's no real form function. You get on your knees if you want. However you need to encounter God through prayer this morning, let's make that happen. Let's just get quiet before God. Over and over, Scripture invites us to abide in God, to rest in God, to dwell in God. More than 50 times, the Apostle Paul repeats the phrase, in Christ. Contemplative prayer is not just about activity and speaking, but also about listening and resting in God. Many of us have grown up thinking of prayer as a checklist of requests to God, like giving a grocery store list to someone headed to the supermarket. And as that person heads off, they said, "I'm heading off to pray. Does anyone need anything?" Prayer is certainly about sharing our concerns and frustrations with God. God is personal enough to come down and wrestle in the dirt with Jacob or answer Abraham's pleading on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Still, contemplative prayer goes deeper. A primary purpose of prayer is to impress on us the personality and character of Christ. We want to become like Jesus, so the life that we live is no longer ours, but Christ living in us and through us. Prayer is less about trying to get God to do something we want God to do, and more about getting ourselves to do what God wants us to do, and to become who God wants us to become. There are times when we speak, weep, groan, and even shout at God. If you're like me, sometimes you've cursed at God. But there are also times when we simply sit in silence and are held by our beloved. We remember the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and the incarnation of Jesus as he reveals to us what God is like with flesh on. And we pray that God's character will become our character. The monks have been known to say, if your speaking doesn't add something beautiful to the silence, don't speak. For many of us in this high-paced, cluttered world of materialism and noise, silence is the way we can free up space to listen to God. In most of our lives, silence gets interrupted pretty quickly. Whether it's a knock at the door, a cry from the nursery, or thoughts in our own heads, something almost always breaks the silence we long for in contemplative prayer. It's tempting to give up, to say that silence is not possible in our context, or I'm not cut out for this. But the wisdom of those who've gone before us is helpful here. Teresa of Avila, who was distracted by her own thoughts in prayer, said she learned not to fight them, but to let them come and go like waves in the sea, trusting that God was an anchor who could hold her through any storm. Contemplation is about tending to the lines that anchor us in Christ. For Francis of Assisi, the cross was one of those lines, serving as an icon to focus his prayer on Christ's love. It was in hours of prayer before this cross that he heard Jesus say, "Rebuild my church, which is in ruins." And then he got up to start the most radical renewal movement of the Middle Ages. Activism that matters to the kingdom is always rooted in prayer. If we want to join God in changing the world, the place to begin is on our knees before the cross. What is God speaking to you right now? Who is he asking you to cry out on behalf of? What is he calling you into? Who is he calling you to be? Let's take time with these things. And if you're bold enough, I ask that you just pray out loud to share in the community with what God's got for you and for us. Let's take a few moments for that. So, Father, as you taught your disciples to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day, each day, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. God, lead us not into temptation. God, I thank you for this time together as a community of Whitewater. I thank you for this time together that we can just come and get quiet and hear from you and hear from others in our community. God, I pray this isn't just this Sunday, one and done kind of a thing, but this would be a lifestyle that we would know you and we would live in you and that we would miss this time if we don't get it. God, make it as precious to us as food or oxygen. God, for the broken and the unhealthy right now, we pray for healing. God, for those struggling financially, whether it's of their own doing or just poor circumstances, God, I pray for resolution in that. God, for those of us fighting right now to just stay engaged. God, speak. We invite that. God, for those wrestling now to figure out whether you are who you say you are, whether you truly are Lord of all, God, speak loud. For those of us that need to make a decision to just follow you, and to rest in your adoption of us, God. Speak loud. May these things be followed by obedience, what we hear from you. God, you've told us from the beginning that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few when it comes to doing your work and being about the things that you're about. So God, I pray that that flips here. God, bring us those workers for the harvest. Make us, every single one of us, those workers for the harvest. So God, I'm going to finish with some words from St. Chrysostom that mimic your words and echo your words, God, as you were in the garden, fighting for your life, looking for a different way. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions, as may be best for us. Granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. I love you guys. Thanks for being in this with us. Thanks for being willing to listen to God and cry out to God today. Grace and peace.